Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. This is Miracle Man and Preacher Man. We're live on the air. I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the show, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless it, and that you use me and the Preacher Man as we do this, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you use us, and that you impart things to us, Lord God, that you would have us do. I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless people, you know, who is the show. And I thank you, Lord God, right now, that you would, that we would have sponsors, great sponsors, in the name of Jesus. May we have some really good sponsors to help us fund so we can get some equipment and those things that we have need of. I thank you, Lord God, for that, in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, I thank you, God, for Harvey. I thank you, God, for, I thank you, Lord God, for those in Harvey's path, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, that the storm will weaken quick, the flooding, all these rains will stop. I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, your hand is upon these people, and that you give these people wisdom on what to do next, on what insurances they need and what they need to do. I give you praise and honor and glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, talk to you guys about faith. Now, I'm going to read from Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 10 again. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the old timers were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I was thinking about this faith thing and how it relates to the folks in Texas and now Louisiana. Now, those of you who are listening, and if you're from Texas or Louisiana, Houston area, or Port Arthur, or Lake Charles, Louisiana, I'm praying for you. and then believe in that in the name of Jesus, that these flood levels are going to go down. These record high reservoirs, these reservoir levels are going to go down in the name of Jesus. This flooding is going to recede. Now, even though the rain stopped in Houston, I'm believing that in the name of Jesus that flooding is going to go down, and it's going to go down remarkably quick. Speedy recovery, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, that through miracles may people help you with the help that you need to get your lives back together in the name of Jesus. Now, I was thinking about this faith thing. The Bible talks about how this city, how this place, this city, I'm going to read verse 10 again of the same promises. For he was looking forward to the city of the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That means that the city is not a natural city, but it means that the city is built by God. That means it's floodproof. That means that nothing can ever destroy the city. It's not like Houston or Galveston or even Midland, Michigan. We have a lot of places that are flood prone. But what he's talking about here in verse 10, this is a spiritual city. It's built on faith. It's built on the foundation of faith. Can you imagine if Houston or Port Arthur or New Orleans or Miami or one of these other cities that are near the coast or any other city in America? How about New Orleans, Los Angeles, San Francisco? Yeah. How about if all these cities were built on faith? I don't think we'd have the same levels of the destruction that we have. I don't think we would. I think it would be a lot less. Faith is so great. Where is my Genesis? Yeah, I'm going to get to reading these two chapters. I'm going to get to reading. All right. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 7 and 8. I'm going to go to 8:22. Praise God. Let's start with chapter 7. The Lord then said to Noah, now let me talk about this. Last time we talked about Noah and the flood in chapter 6. Now we're going to read chapter 7 as the flood still continues. So we start reading in 7 verse 1. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, and you and your whole family, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 2 of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also 7 of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep these various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 minutes. Nope, it doesn't say that. It says throughout the earth, 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, Houston's kind of minuscule compared to this, because that was, let me see here. It started raining, I would say, Friday night or Saturday or midnight. That was 4 days and four nights. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay, maybe 4 days and five nights. But I'm going to keep reading. 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals and of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, had come, the flood waters came on the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. On the 17th day of the second month, February 17th. Do you think that's what that means?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
On that day, all of the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of the three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal, according to its kind, all livestock, according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground, according to its kind, and every bird, according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them, came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, for the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. You bet it was 100 feet of rain in the earth, Scott.
Wow.
You bet it was 100 feet of rain in the earth, Scott, do you think?
I don't know. Yeah.
Would you say 100 feet?
Yeah, I would.
So it'd be probably 12 inches a day at least.
It covered Mount Everest, Ararat. That's 40,000 feet, so there's a lot of water.
So probably,
Fountains of the Deep are opened up. That's different than rain.
So that probably means that Houston, compared to this, is just child's play. So yep. That's more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all of the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men, animals, and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days.
Wow.
Wow, that's almost a school year worth of flooding.
A That's a long time, isn't it?
5 months. But God remembered Noah and all the wild. I'm starting chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all of the wild animals and of livestock that were with him in the ark. He went and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, on July 17th, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was still water over all of the surface of the earth. How deep do you think it was there?
It's over all the surface of the earth, you know.
What do you say? What do you say it was, at least 50 inches?
Yeah.
How many inches? Would you say there was still 100 inches left? 300 inches left?
I don't know. How many days since the flood was it?
40 days and nights it rained.
All right, but afterwards, it started receding for how many days?
Took a long time. I'm going to keep reading. Because there was still water on the face of the earth. So it returned to Noah.
It might still be 1,000 feet deep.
He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to him into the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it didn't come back. It didn't return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had finally dried up from the earth. Wow, so it was like 11 months. It looked like 9 months of receding, basically. 9 months of receding.
Wow.
It would dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry by the 27th day of the second month. The earth was completely dry. Oh, so that means it was even a little longer.
Yeah.
Yep. So that means there could have still been like 20 inches long.
I'm sure there was.
Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives with them. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it. And Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark. One kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man." Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childbirth, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and I gotta read that word. Winter, day and night will never cease. Oh God, please make winter cease. Sorry, listeners, just kind of, my attitude towards winter. I know it's not great, but I guess we'll have to fix that attitude towards winter because, let's face it, it's mission, we're going to have another winter. Because summer of 2017 is sadly coming to an end. Even though I'm not ready because this summer was not quite warm enough.
It was not, was it?
It wasn't warm enough, it wasn't hot enough.
Or dry enough.
I really hoped to get a big sunburn this year, and I didn't.
I think I need another July myself.
Me too.
Let's just do it. Let's have a do-over.
I would.
Hey, maybe.
Because I remember last year I got one. Don't worry, it wasn't that bad. That was good enough for me. Because what's the true summer if you never get a sunburn?
Amen.
I mean, it should be sunny enough that even if you put on a little sunscreen, that you get a little burn.
Well, all right. So let's take that last promise that was made. Al Gore would have been wise if he'd have read that promise.
Al Gore would have been wise if he would have only read the promise. There you go, Al.
As long as the earth remains.
God's not flooding the earth again completely.
There will be seed time and harvest.
Cold, heat. Summer, winter.
Oh,
day, night.
And it shall not cease.
And it shall not cease. Did you hear that, Al? Oh, good, Al. Thank you, Al. Al, you want to sponsor? You're gonna now change your mind and work with us? Great. If only it was that easy. But
well,
one can always hope for Al to be saved.
Amen.
One can always hope.
In Jesus' name, help him get saved.
And help him realize in his mind that there really is four seasons,
And man can't do nothing to destroy this earth. He does not have permission to.
He doesn't have permission to destroy. Now, there could be impact, like they say in Houston, maybe Houston shouldn't have developed in some of those wetland areas, maybe.
Houston, we have a problem.
What?
Water. Water's a severe problem.
Yes, it is, and that's why I prayed over Houston a bit ago, because for those of you who don't know, Houston is ultimately one of my favorite cities in America. I love it as a sports town. I love it as a food city. It's got every kind of fast food place you can think of. From what I understand, it has some great barbecue joints and fried chicken joints and all that other kind of stuff. It has a big livestock and rodeo, which is also a fair. From what I understand, it has some great amusement rides at it.
Better than Ogama?
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Genesis.
Let's get back. So.
Because let me ask a question and you answer it, okay? Because the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's.
Yeah.
And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So no man can destroy this earth.
Does that mean that building on a wetland increase Houston's flood risk?
Well, God did expect us to be intelligent. If you build your house on sinking sand, what is going to happen to your house?
It's going to flood. And Houston has clay underneath the soil. In places, there's clay underneath the soil.
Right.
Does that mean that sinking is clay?
Good solid base, but that means the ground won't suck the moisture in. It'll have to run off. And that's why they got so much water.
Is there a way to undo some of that clay underneath?
No. No.
I wish.
No. But let's think about the flood. God said, I'm going to destroy everything.
Yep. And he did it because the earth prior to the flood was only evil all the time. I don't think there were churches. I don't think there were benevolent organizations or anything like that either.
No.
I think it was purely evil.
Yeah. And how many men were found righteous?
Just Noah and his three sons.
Yeah.
And then all the wives. Eight people.
Yeah.
Only eight people. That's all that were found.
And he was how old?
He was 600 years old.
600. And he preached for 100 years. How could he preach 100 years and never have a convert?
Well, that would be bad. That would be wrong.
Yes, sir.
Not about him like, oh, I've been doing this for 100 years. I got a convert. Why? God, why? I'll be here. My butt played. That would be so funny.
Well, but it's, you know, it's the reality of where the world was at. The difference between the flood, that time period, and today is there's millions. There's probably a billion righteous people on the earth today.
Yes. Even though in a lot of ways that is just like the last days. This happened to Houston is a sign of the last days, folks.
Okay.
It really
is. What's that verse of scripture? There'll be signs. There'll be wonders.
There'll be earthquakes, and there'll be other pestilences or calamities in various places.
And it even says floods.
Floods. There you go, Midland. That even includes Midland from this year's flood.
Yeah.
Houston had its worst flood ever. New Orleans had flooding this year. Other places. Yep, it's a sign. We're in the last days, folks. I think it's possible there could even be droughts in some places, too,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
I'm not the forecaster. This is from the Bible.
Yeah.
That says that these earthquakes, pestilences, floods, droughts, what have you, you know?
Yep.
Even the record heat waves and cold waves and that are signs of the last days. Because we're not to think in the last days that it won't just be record heat, they would also be record cold. What do you think?
Yes, sir.
So that means, again, I'm not the jester, but be ready for extremes. That's all I got to say.
And that's why you and I got to live a life of tithing, a life of righteousness, so God can protect us in these situations.
We also need to be wise people. We need to live in wisdom. As good wisdom as we can have. Have supplies at your house.
Yeah.
Have generators. Have the NOAA weather radio. Have a food supply of non-perishables.
Yeah.
Get an emergency kit, please. If you don't have one, get one.
Make a plan.
You got to make a plan because the theme in the last days. Have your phone battery charged. Do what you got to do because you never know. North Korea could possibly use a powerful enough missile that could knock out the power grid. Well, we know.
Yep. You remember Dr. Summerall's statement? How he said in the last days, you'll be sitting in a restaurant and God will say, get up and leave, and you'll leave and the thing will explode behind you. We're seeing that all over. He was prophesying something that we had never seen here in America, but it's here today. People run in and kill people, a bunch of people, shoot them up with a gun. And, you know, in Noah's day, there was not enough righteous people. But Paul says, you and I, the righteous, are the ones that stay in God's hand of judgment coming on this place.
You're gonna join me?
And that's a cool thing. How many righteous people do you think there are in the earth?
Oh, a billion.
A billion. You said that real quick.
Because you had said that earlier. So
I'd say out of seven, there's one. Wouldn't you?
One out of seven. Yes, I would say that.
10%?
No, you went over that. Now, there's some people who are semi-righteous that need to get a bit more righteous, that need to get back to the house of God, need to get back in God's Word, need to...
Okay. Amen, Bill. That's always the case in all of our lives.
Yep.
Keep that thing fine-tuned.
Gotta.
Make it work good. Make it work strong. Did you give our phone number yet?
Okay. Word of business. Our phone number is 215-883-383. 383-3810. That is 215-383-3810. It is also important to note that it is a smart thing to listen to your program on the smartphone. And what did you always say?
I said, that's the one I say.
I would about smart thing and smartphone and what you're saying about an app or whatever. What you always say, producer? I mean, preacher man, what is it you always say?
Excuse me for a minute. I'm scratching my brain to remember. I always say this. If you need to listen to the program on your phone, you can. You can hook it in your car and then have it over your speaker. You can go to your computer and click on the button for Upfront Entertainment, and it'll take you to the show. You can listen to it on your computer. You can listen to it through Skype and actually call in on your Skype. So there's many different ways of reaching this. If you don't know how to find us, just go to Blog Talk Radio. I mean, you're there if you're listening to us. And then search up The Preacher and The Miracle Man, and you will see this program. Whoops. You'll see this program right there. And you'll be able to click on it. If we're live, it'll say live, and you'll be able to click on it and go right there, and it'll be a blessing to you. Have you told them where we were yet?
We are live at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road, across the road from Kmart. We're just south of Haley and north of Patrick. We're right next door to a gas station and a disability network office. And McDonald's is always so good to us. They have our Coke and Dr. Pepper.
Amen.
Hopefully they'll become a sponsor of this program someday. We'll believe in God.
But, you know, I tried something with my Dr. Pepper yesterday.
What did you try?
I was at a gas station that had some flavors available. You could put cherry and vanilla and different stuff.
Yep.
And they had raspberry. So I added a little raspberry to my Dr. Pepper. Hallelujah.
Oh, boy. Kind of sounds good myself.
Hallelujah.
That actually does sound good, raspberry Dr. Pepper.
I actually had 24 flavors.
So, folks, you're at a gas station and you have Coke. Add extra something to it. Raspberry, vanilla, cherry, whatever. And you will have an extra flavor mixed in.
Just to remind everybody, the 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper, number one is cola. Uh-oh. Cherry, licorice, amaretto, almond, vanilla, blackberry, apricot, caramel, pepper, anise, sarsaparilla, ginger, molasses, lemon, plum, orange, nutmeg, cardamom,
something like that,
anise, allspice, coriander, juniper, birch, prickly ash. Now that's a drink.
And if you add vanilla or raspberry into it, that'll be
25. You could have 25 flavors.
Yeah. No, we move on to our next segment. Fourth, we have an awful week, which is very, very, very busy. We got an awful lot to get to.
All right, you go. I'll be quiet.
First of all, we have the Tigers. The Tigers are off today, but yesterday, Tigers are in Denver, play the Rockies. They won 6-3. Verlander, he goes 7 innings, giving up 1 run on 3 hits, on 1 walk and 9 strikeouts. Verlander actually gets his first RBI ever in his career last night, which is pretty incredible if you ask me that Verlander got an RBI. But keep in mind that this is in a National League ballpark where you're not allowed to have a DH, so that means your pitcher will hit once in a while. With that win, the Tigers win the series as they won Monday night 4-3. They lost Tuesday night 6-2, and then they won last night 6-3. Keep in mind that the Tigers are off today, and tomorrow they have start a four-game series with Cleveland in Detroit, in which a game has to be made up. A rainout has to be made up. Now, we got some news. Justin Upton, our Tiger that we signed last year to a multi-year contract, the guy who's hitting more home runs than anyone else on a ball club this year, has just been traded to the Los Angeles Angels.
Oh, my.
Now, for us, this means that power could possibly go down a bit if our other guys don't step up to the plate and start hitting a bit more.
What could we get in his place?
I don't know yet. I didn't read it yet. But, yeah, Castellanos, has just traded today to the Angels. I believe it's players could be named later, and I think some cash. Let's face it, we're a team who's trying to free up some space, that way we really don't have to pay the luxury tax. We're trying to do what we're trying to do. Hopefully we can have a good weekend with Cleveland and win at least 2 of the games, maybe 3. That'd be nice. And I'd like to win some more nuggets. Okay. So that does it with the Tigers. Now we move on to...
Well, hold on just a second. I got it. Your producer's got it. The Angels and the Tigers have agreed to a deal sending outfielder Justin Upton to Anaheim in exchange for minor league right-hander Grayson Long and a player to be named later.
So you got that. What Long is his first name?
Grayson Long.
So, Tigers get minor league Grayson Long and then a player to be named later. And that's what that's the latest on your Tigers. Now, we move on to. I'm going to do high school football first because in Michigan that is tonight, another edition of Thursday Night Lights, thanks to Labor Day weekend, and
yes,
many schools want to have the kids off tomorrow night. We begin with Milton Dow, who is hosting Bay City Central at Midland County Stadium at Midland High School. Game time is at 7. The question is, can Dow High's defense, can they contain DeQuez Weathers, the senior, and the great junior quarterback, who I forget his name, but they went 6-3 last year. Bay City Central went 6-3, made the playoffs for the first time since 2007, and they just lost to Franklin's 28-20, which is actually quite close, honestly. I think you're going to see Bay City Central have a really good year. I do. Maybe only one other loss maybe two, maybe three. Part of that depends on this. What does Midland bring to the table in a few weeks? But more importantly tonight, what does Dow bring to the table tonight? Can Dow beat Bay City Central? I think they do. I think it's a three-pointer. I think it's 25-22 Dow.
25-22.
Last second field goal. Man, I wish that I wish these games were all tomorrow night, because then I'd actually be at the BC Central Bowl game. And let's face it, guys. Let's face it, folks. As a sports broadcaster and that guy who doesn't want to be biased, let's face it. This year, Dow has a really good home game where they're going to play like a tough opponent. And I make up my point this year to be there for them when I can be like at the really good important home games, because I want to be able to tell the right side of the story from things I'm seeing, you know? You know, like if it's a good one. Now Bay City Central, Midland High in a few weeks, that should be a good game. At Bay City, I will probably go there, but that's in a few weeks. And like I'm saying, we got so much to get to and not that much time. So now we move to Midland. Midland on the road goes to Auburn, McCornfield tonight to play Bay City Western. Western, according to Coach Mettner, Western had a pretty formidable defense, even though they lost 48 to Traverse City Central in Traverse City.
48-0, and they have a good defense?
You thought they were at least formidable and that they could possibly cause Midland some challenges if Western, you know, does things to improve. You know, I will say this. I predicted the Western, I predicted the Central versus Dow game, so I'll also predict Midland versus Bay City Central. Midland versus Bay City Western, excuse me. I think Midland will beat Western 43-10. Midland will get a nice win, a good win that shows people that Midland really is serious. So I think it helps Midland quite a bit. And so,
when's the next game you're going to attend?
Next Midland game I will be at will be next Friday night at Midland Community Stadium. It will be Midland versus Flint Jaguars. It is a co-op of Flint Northwestern and Flint Southwestern High Schools. I think from the looks of it, I'm going to have this happen tonight, but I think it could be somewhat of a challenge for us.
Yeah.
We'll have to see, because Flint does have some gaps, even though in the past it's been common for all the Flint schools to have losing records in the city of Flint. Maybe now that won't be a case, but we'll see next week. And then now we're moving on to some big stuff. College football. Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Michigan, Florida, in Dallas, AT&T Stadium, packed house.
They still can play at Dallas? It's all right?
Dallas didn't get it. Dallas is like 5 hours away from the coast, so they're not getting that rain. But, yeah, in Dallas, 3:30 p.m., Michigan, kind of a young team on offensive and defensive line. Florida, with a lot of the kids suspended. Still great game, great stories. I think Michigan wins that game 21-17.
Come on.
And it's gonna be a good game for a great coach and a great players. You've gotta give your hats off for Jim Harbaugh and the great work he's done at Michigan over the past two seasons. Turning a team around that was to one that is now very good. And was close to making the college football playoff. Had Michigan been able to beat Ohio State. With that in mind, I will say this. Ohio State will win the Big Ten.
Uh-oh. It hasn't even started yet. How can you say that?
Just, that's my preseason prediction.
I have to hold you to that.
What I'm trying to do with the show now is I'm trying to make predictions as to what'll happen without being biased. Now Michigan State, they start Saturday also. I forget who they start with. Look that up, please. Forget.
I'll get it.
Michigan State start. They lost like 7 games in a row last season. After they were ranked in the single digits, just like Michigan, a week or two into the season. They had the assault case, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Let's face it, Michigan State is gonna be 6-6 at best this year. I think they'll be like, 5-7, 4-8. Something like that. It'll be rebuilding. It's going to be a rebuilding time for Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans.
Saturday, 2:00 p.m, the Bowling Green Falcons are playing Michigan State Park.
Bowling Green up Ohio?
Yes, sir.
So, Ohio Bowling Green plays at Michigan State. I think Michigan State will beat Bowling Green. I'm going to put it at 31-17. Not as convincing as it could have been a while back when we had better talent and a better quarterback and better offense and better defense. But I think we got a good shot to get a win. Now, Western, they're not going to go 11-0 every time. I think they're going to lose a few games. Now, we move on to the Lions.
The Lions.
Your Lions have a preseason game tonight. They play the Bills tonight, I believe.
You're really working the producer here. I think it is the Bills. I think you're right.
Bills in Buffalo tonight.
Detroit Lions at Buffalo, 7 p.m.
7 p.m. I think the Lions are going to win this one 21-16.
Yep, all right.
I think the Lions are going to get this one. And then next Sunday on September 10th, 2017, your Detroit Lions start play with the Arizona Cardinals, Ford Field, 1 p.m. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great game. I have to look at some things, look at some injury stuff, look at some things to see where we stand, see where Arizona stands, so that I can give you a good, bold prediction next week. Keep in mind, when I do these predictions, I'm not trying to be biased. I'm telling it the way I see it.
Just telling the truth.
I'm telling it the way I see it.
Did you see that the Lions traded Tomlinson?
Oh, my God, I ain't doing a thing on that. Oh, the Lions just traded Tomlinson to
49ers.
Well, San Francisco 49ers. So that means that we're going to be short a position, so we got to find a new one quick.
Wow.
After tonight, they have to cut it down to 53 players. That's probably why they got rid of them. So, in a way, Detroit needs to think of who they're going to trade before they just trade people away. I know it's not hard to do, but I see it as something that's important to do. Or to be competitive in professional sports. And I just thought when it comes to the Tigers in baseball in general, in baseball, it's a game of strategy. It really is a game of strategy. So when the hitters, like when they if they see that Cabrera's hitting a whole bunch of home runs, eventually the pitchers are going to change their strategy. You know, start striking out a lot more. And then a good batter, as he's figuring that out, and he's getting out so easily, he should be adjusting. The pitchers adjust there. That way, they'll be able to get back to the home runs they used to hit. Baseball is a game of strategy.
Wow.
And with the coaches and that, really is a game of strategy. It really is. Football is a game of strategy, too. Quarterbacks will do that. Quarterbacks will do that. With wide receivers, one of the good quarterbacks will adjust the scheme with their wide receivers, with the handoffs. If they find that any way they try to do the wide receiver thing, that it's not going great against great against a certain team, they're going to start going to a lot more handoffs.
There you go.
And they're going to take it down you that way. High school does this. Pros do this. College does this. Both of these you're going to hear a lot of both of these the next few weeks from me. You're going to hear a lot of this. That both of these games, baseball and football, are a game of strategy. You got to do what works.
You
got
to do what works. That's right.
Those who do what works have good winning seasons and great programs. Those that can't do what works suffer. Maybe it could be for Midland if they want to start doing better. Maybe you start going to a little bit more of a pass first.
Yeah.
Man, another reason why I wish they were playing that game tomorrow, because then I'd be there and I'd be analyzing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I'd be writing notes in my phone, you know, every time there's a play, like of what happened.
What was I going to ask you? Can you people listen to the game on the archive?
I don't think ESPN 100.9 has an archive thing. It'd be nice if they do, because then I would. This one, if this wasn't the one they did, because then I would go back and look at it, you know, and be able to analyze it, because then I could say, like, okay, they're doing this, because these can be pointers that possibly no one can use, you know, when they play the same opponent in a few weeks.
Yeah.
That way, because I don't want to see Midland have another losing season. I don't. I want to see Midland get back to winning playoff games, because let's face it, the 5 years I was there at Midland High as a student, it became so regular for us to win our first playoff game. And 5 years? Years 3, 4, and 5. All 5 of those years, we went to at least regionals. One of the years, the first year of that stretch, we made it to Ford Field. 08 and 09, keep in mind, we lost regionals 2 years in a row, both at home. 1 year, I felt sick a couple days after it, the 5th year. But it wasn't from the game. It wasn't from me being upset or anything. I think it was just a bad sore throat and stuff. And I got a cold. I don't think it was from me being there. Because if your mind would have made you sick, you would have had to have been crying a lot in order for you to get sick. Don't you think? Well,
yes.
Yeah, So it couldn't be because of your help from the game that you would function great the day after that big blowout loss to a 5-4 to a team that was 5-4, and then the next day you're sick. That's probably your body, not your mind, from how you felt about the game.
That's right.
Because first your mind would go to, you know, and then it would be all that stuff, and then that would make you sick if it was from that, you know. But I don't think it was. But enough on that. But to say the teams. Great teams do what works.
They do what works.
I hope that the Lions and Michigan State and the Tigers and the high school teams, Midland and Dow, can put that to work, and they work with each other so that we can have some great football games.
Great football. Well, you know, you just said something there, Miracle Man. My hero in football was always Brett Favre.
Oh, Brett. I love him too, even though he was on one of our opponent teams for all but 1 year of his career.
But the thing I liked about him was, you just said whatever works, do it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how in the world you practice for that long arm throw that he had, but he did. He lofted that thing in the end zone and said, "We don't have nothing to do but try. We don't have but 3 seconds left. So you guys better grab it." And that's what he did, and that's why everybody loved him so much, because he was not afraid to just wing it down there, and he could make it get to the end zone too. He had the arm on him.
And there's a word, and there's a code for this concept. It's called whatever it takes.
Yeah.
That means whatever it takes to win the ball game, whatever it takes to beat. If you're Dow or Michigan or whatever,
yeah.
It could be whatever it takes to beat Midland, whatever it takes to Dow. And with Michigan, what does it take to beat Michigan State?
So what happened to the Bills going to the Super Bowl 4 times and not winning?
I think they just had some things not go their way, especially in 93 and 94 when Dallas just manhandled them.
Yeah.
And gave them the Texas size beatdown. that if I was a lot older and older to appreciate it, like I was like 8 or 10 years older, man, when watching Dallas score those points, I tell you, if I was a place where everybody was big into football, I wish our church that when we had the Super Bowl party that a lot more people were actually into the game.
Yes, sir.
I really do. If they're not by the first quarter, I just might walk out and go somewhere else where the people are actually excited.
Maybe we'll have to do our own.
No, we got to have a lot of people over
right.
who are actually going to be into it. I'd love some fun ladies that are really into football. It sounded like Jesse was.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Because the world needs a lot more of them. Because I tell you. At a place like that, man, when Dallas was, I wouldn't just be clapping, man. I'd be shouting to God with the voice of triumph because let's face it, Dallas is God's team. Because I still say this even after Harvey, Jesus lives in Texas. If he lived in America, I think he'd live in Texas. I kind of think
Rivers.
Yeah.
Michigan is shaped like a mitten, right?
Yes.
And the Upper Peninsula is shaped like. The mitt is the right hand, and the Upper Peninsula is the left hand. God holds the earth in the palm of his hand, and it's Michigan.
Oh, no.
And look at.
He holds his hand in Michigan, but he lives in Texas.
And where and what is all around Michigan?
Whoa.
Living water. The living water. Come on, man. Yeah. God lives in Michigan.
Then why aren't the Lions called God's team? Why is it called the Cowboys?
Because them boys down there are confused. Listen, I got to tell you, I got to tell you something important. It is now 6:27.
Uh-oh.
It is time to shut this down and get to church.
Okay.
Because we can't be late for church.
So, with this in mind, folks, it's time to realize.
You got to get our email addresses.
It's time to give the email addresses. You can email me and any time if you want to talk to me, you know, whatever. My email address is rivershukla@gmail.com.
Spell it.
RYVERSHUKLA@gmail.com. And you can also email the preacher man at HG for Holy Ghost at
HGPreacherMan@gmail.com.
There you have it. You have our email addresses. You have our how to listen to us. And until next time, God first, God always, and good night, everybody. So long, everybody.